Hallelujah. You made you glad tonight. Yes. Amen. Yes. Turn your Bibles tonight to Micah chapter 7. It's right there towards Jonah, Micah, and Nahum. So, Daniel, Joel, Amos, Jonah, Micah, and Nahum. I memorized that years ago, I guess. So I just remember that right now. That little jingle I come up with, I think. Micah chapter 7, it's toward the end of the Old Testament. While you're turning there, just try to listen at the same time here. Next Wednesday, Brother Alexander will be here preaching for us. That Saturday, the 15th, we're going to have communion here at 5:30. If anybody wants to come, that's fine. The following service on Sunday, Brother Josiah Cornett will be speaking for us. He came about a couple months ago on a Wednesday night. So please pray for those services. A good time to be in the house of the Lord, because every time in the house of the Lord is a good time.
Amen.
You know, it's just a good time, you know. We got a text yesterday from Brother Colin from Samuel Johnson's church. We just had him here not too long ago, but he texted me, and I guess they have services this weekend, and their minister backed out for whatever reason, had to cancel on Saturday, so he asked me to come. So, that was one of those things. Just pray for Brother Andrew, all right? No, it meant a lot to me, I'll say that much. That speaks volumes, and I appreciate it quite a bit. Just praying for strength, but in my weakness, am I strong? I believe that with all my heart. The more I can not trust in myself, the more I've seen God use me for. And I'm a little nervous tonight. I've got a... You might see I'm missing something that I normally have. Feel led to do a little bit different tonight, and I hope that's okay. The same God that led me on Sunday to say what I said and do what I did, I believe He's told me what to do tonight. Spent a lot of time trying to, you know, as a minister, to try to seek the Lord, to try to study and find what He wants. And every time I try to study, just not getting nowhere, you know. And then this just came to me. So let me just read this, and we'll get moving here a little bit. Micah chapter 7, verse 7. And this is one of the first verses I ever memorized, because it was real to me. I think if you go back and look at, unless you were in Sunday school now, you memorize a lot of things there, but just the verses that you know is usually because it became real to you somehow.
Yes.
And it stuck to you because it was reality. Not all the words real, we understand that, but the one that when God takes it off the pages and you watch it manifest right in front of you, it just becomes a part of you. You can't forget that. Verse 7, Micah 7, 7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against Him. So He plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold His righteousness.
Amen.
From the Revelation chapter 5. Oh, thank you. Revelation chapter 5. Excuse me. Verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb, forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. If I was going to take a text tonight, I'd just say this, I got something worth shouting about.
Amen.
I've got something worth shouting about. Let's bow our heads tonight. you have a need, you'd like to lift up to the Lord as we approach His throne. God bless each one. God knows your heart. He comes here to give you the desires of your heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how we appreciate you tonight. That Lord, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear any evil, for you're with me, Lord. Your staff and your rod, they comfort me. And tonight, Lord, as we feel your spirit here, it brings us comfort, Lord. When we go through a world of lay of the sea and darkness on every side and temptation and trial and just a wicked place to live, Lord, not fit to live for a human being, still we have a refuge, and that's you, Father. We've got the Holy Ghost, but how much more when we can all get together in heavenly places and everything else fades away, Lord, and we gather our little licks of fire that still shine when we're at home, but when we come to the house of the Lord, it's just so much brighter. When we have brothers that dwell in unity, Father, that believe the same thing, that has the same faith in them, Lord, we thank you for ordaining it. Lord, we thank you that you put it in our hearts to be here. As the prophet said, if there's any love of God in your heart, you'll be at that house of the Lord every time the doors are open. And Lord, that's why we come tonight, not to hear Brother Andrew, but Lord, I don't come to hear from me. Lord, I don't got anything good to say, but I come to hear you speak to us, Father, and to show us, Lord, what we can do. And just, Lord, as we give you glory, may you just take this word that's brought tonight and change us and mold us, and may it make us just more equipped to fight this evil age that we live in. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing right now, and all that you will do. You're just worthy of all praise. We give you thanks, Lord. We pray for every need that's in this place, that tonight you fulfill that in the heart of every person that's here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If it's okay, I think I'll just go ahead and testify of what God has done for me in my life. Like I said, I don't know why I feel to go this way, but I've just learned to trust that voice that speaks and tells you to do certain things. I'm glad to see the home folk here. So I'm just going to be, and I'll read that some of this out of Spoken Words Original C. As Brother Branham said, he just take the gloves off. He said, I ain't going to pull no punches on this one. And I want to say the same thing. Brother Branham says this. He says, we want everyone to hear the message of the Lord. Is that your desire? Amen. And the glorious old gospel gets better all the time as we near the end of the road. Can you say amen? And sometimes it's good to go back and realize that, you know, what God did back there was fine. But if what you have today ain't greater than it was then, you're backslid somewhere. Because the gospel doesn't diminish, it only grows. And the closer we get to the end, my, the world, the closer they get to the end, the worse life gets. But the closer the Christian gets to the end, it's only the beginning, really. Death isn't something we're afraid of because we can't die. Death has no power over us. Yeah. Those that have been born again, you're born again in the Spirit of God tonight. Yeah. Amen. You've got to know that you know that you know that God has done something to your soul. But once you do, oh my, it's peace. It's joy. It's love. It's thanksgiving, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. Brother Branham says this, now we pray that you'll bring hearts to understand you today. Those who do not understand you, bring sinners to repentance, bring sick people to the healing knowledge of God. Oh God, bless your saints and bind their hearts together. And I say amen. That is my intention every time I stand behind the pulpit, is that God, you can accomplish these things that you promised to before the foundation of the world. But you orchestrated this moment of time, and we are here to walk in your will.
Yes, yes.
Brother Branham says this. He says, by thy grace, feeling it was thy will that I should explain to the people why that I have acted and did the way I have done. May it be in such a way that the people will have a better understanding, Lord, of the peculiarity of thy servants. Let me skip down. He says this. Now to all my friends, both here and wherever these takes may travel, I feel that I owe it to the people for an explanation of many things that I have done and said. And I've hit that Brother Branham said that many times in this service, but I wanted to say it so you knew for sure that Brother Branham, when he was preaching this message, had an intention of letting the people know exactly where he stood and why he had done what he had done for all the years prior to this.
Amen.
Spoken Words Original Seed, and that'll probably be my next series. This is my first. I don't remember last time. You remember last time I just preached a sermon? I don't know. I've been doing series for quite a while, but we'll just tonight. I've got something worth shouting about. I've got something that's better than anything the world ever tried to give me. you don't mind, we'll just go back down memory lane for a little while. I'm not going to backdrop too much, but I'm glad just my dad's here. I think he can handle me talking about things. So obviously, he's part of my testimony. Actually, without dad, there would be no me right now. I'm not just saying that because he's there. I'd rather give him a rose now than a wreath when he's gone. And my mother's not. Well, my mother's in town, but she's my biological mother. She's down with my brother Stephen visiting their assembly there. So God bless them. Keep praying for my mother. I believe it. You know, and you might not believe this. I hope it's okay. Dad don't mind me sharing. But Dad even had a dream one time that, and he believes it seems like my mom's gonna be there. I believe it. And you think, well, look what happened back there and all the trouble things. I don't want to get into that. But look, the love of God surpasses all that. The love of God would take a man and he could look Hitler right in the face and says, I hope you repent and get saved. I don't want you to die and go to hell. He said, but look at all the evil he's done. It doesn't matter. It's just too much on the line. We all make mistakes. And when you really get born again, you realize what a sinner you were anyhow. You're not righteous. None of us were righteous. Our righteousness that we thought we had was filthy rags. That's what the Bible says. And I'm grateful that he took my rags and had no problem just go ahead and burning them up for me and give me a robe to wear that I didn't have to pay for. I didn't have to work for it. It was a free gift.
Amen.
But many people think, you know, about my past and they kind of generalize things that ain't necessarily true. So I kind of feel the same, maybe not to the same magnitude the prophet did. But I just like people to understand, you know, where I come from. And this will be on tape if anybody ever asks. I guess it's there now. And like I said, I felt led to do this. But I should have probably, if you know, in the ideal world or whatever, I should have grew up in the message, but that ain't the way it worked out. My dad was the song leader there in Brother Tom Diller's church back when he was in the Seven Thunders, if you know of that the move that's part of the message. But I don't want to get into all that. But he would say a few hundred people at least, probably 300. My dad was a song leader. My mom was the piano player. You thought, man, match made in heaven. But sometimes the devil makes things look just perfect. But look, and sometimes the devil makes what looks bad. And really, that's the will of God. You know, he just that's the way he does things. And you know, long story short, I don't want to go too much into that. But I was about two or three, one of the two. And my parents, my mom left my dad, took us boys with him, or with her rather, and after a while, it just worked out. God worked it out that I could come back and live with my dad. And I think I was about 3 years old, 2 and a half, somewhere around there. And I was raised by my dad. My dad had remarried by that time to you all know Sister Betty in there. But to think, for all these years, you know, growing up, I didn't know who Brother Branham was. I never heard the first thing about it. Not because my dad didn't believe it. My dad did believe it. There's two things he always said after all the mess that he went through. He said, I knew two things. I said, I met Jesus. I know he was real. He said, I knew Brother Branham was a prophet. Now, about all this other stuff, I don't know. And I'm sure many of you can relate to that. You know, you had somebody take what was supposed to be the message and you tried to follow it. You tried to listen and just something on the inside just couldn't agree, just something wrong somewhere, and I'm glad to know it was just somebody leaving the Word somewhere, and I am the Word, and I can't go with that. I just can't. I have to. Why? Because that's what I am. That's what, might as well preach a little bit tonight, if that's okay. I was always something. There's no such thing as evolution the way that the world says. You either were that seed or you weren't. And I'm glad to know that I know that I know that I'm a son of God. I'm a seed of God, foreknown by God before there was a world. And God knew that. He had no problems with what happened with my father, what happened with the church there. But I think it'll make sense why even Brother Tom right now, he's in the hospital, but it about breaks my heart. You know, you think that if anything, that'd be the person my dad was bitter at, but that's like his father now. Because it's just the way God does things. He's just a miraculous working God. And I love his ways. I do. Because just when you think you got it figured out, he pulls the curtains right out, or the carpet right out underneath you, and he flips you upside down and says, hey, look at it this way. You were wrong the whole time. And that's okay for a Christian. He ain't got no problems with that. Lord, if I'm wrong, amen. Make me right. Amen. Well, I was about sixth grade. We didn't go to church or anything. My dad hated church just because of stuff that happened. I'm sure somebody can say amen to that one. Yeah, you love God, but you hated church. And that's the problem too many times, and rightly so. Too many times, people that have what is life don't use it for life. They've taken it, twisted it, and it becomes death. That don't mean that man's hopeless. It just means he might go through a ringer for a little while. And Brother Tom, the reason I adore him so much is he was willing to give up what he had to stay with the Word. A man that had hundreds, he could have been very, very well off. We'll put it that way, very respected. But when it came down to leaving the Word, he just couldn't do it. He stayed with it. And without that, I wouldn't be standing here now. Brother Tom and Brother Kent would know more details about it than I was. He was there through, the whole thing, thick and thin. Brother Kent, and that's why you might think Brother Kent's tight with me, but it's just because I've been around so long. You know, the first time I walked in the Methodist Church, I met Brother Kent. And it's been that way ever since. It's hard to believe that was 12 years ago now. I'm starting to feel old all of a sudden. What in the world? My. But growing up, you know, you think you'd hear something, or you know, when my grandpa, he was a deacon in two different Methodist churches for years. My grandma was a saint of saints, and she passed away about a year or somewhere around a year before my brother Stephen was born, around that time. I never got to meet her, but I will. Soon and very soon. Amen. But I've never heard anybody have anything bad to say about her. She's just a wonderful woman, and God knows that. But he knew when to take her, and he did. And my grandpa kind of got, just this long story short, excommunicated. He got real bitter about it, and then all the things with my dad and my uncle ended up getting leukemia, and it just seemed like everything fell apart in, 2 years' time, probably. And we think that it's over. And too many times we'll do that to people. Oh, you see what happened? See, told you, they're circumcised the whole time. Don't judge it before the time. You never know. You never know. You said, well, you knew better. The Bible says there's no blood for that. Huh? No. You're trying to judge by the head. That ain't the way it works. It's what's in the heart. That's absolutely right. You can't blaspheme with your mouth. It has to come out of your heart. Or you can never do it. So praise be to God that Paul could even say, I was a blasphemer. But I did it through ignorance. Because it wasn't what was really in my heart. It was just what I was in my head, and I went with it because it made logical sense. But when God gave me a revelation, all that logical sense wasn't but dumb to me. That I may know Christ. Amen. But my grandpa still had things all over his walls. I'd go over there and visit him, and I would see things, and I never thought to ask for whatever reason. But I actually brought one, if that's okay. I still have it because I bought my grandpa's house. This has been in his house since I can remember, sitting on the wall the whole time. And I've never one time heard Brother Branham's name until I was about 16 years old. This was on there the whole time. Why? God knows the day. He knows the hour. He knows when to call on you. Yeah, there was a picture of, I keep that for a reason, but there was a picture of, I bet his cloud picture was maybe not hardly any bigger than that. But when I remember him talking, when I got saved and things, Dad was talking about the cloud, and I remember thinking, I've seen that before. I saw that at Grandpa's house. And in my mind, I thought it was about as big as up here, about this much. That's because I was a little bitty guy. And that's all I remembered it when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I thought it was this big. No, it was just about this big right here. Because it was always around me, but for some reason, I never noticed it. Why? The predestination of God. He knew the day that I needed to see. I was about 6 years, I was about sixth grade. Mom and Dad decided we were going to start going to church somewhere. We hadn't gone before that, really, just kind of here and there. And we went to the First Church of God for a little while here in town. And they're great people. I love it. We just saw Brother Rick Rufinot here not too long ago, and they're kind as can be. But no one can eat that old dead meat so long, you know. And I appreciate my dad's ability to suffer, knowing that we needed something to go to at the time. You know, we didn't know no different. I didn't think nothing of it. I tried to listen. I tried to pay attention, but just something wasn't clicking right. So I talked to Dad about things I had, and he would tell me what the Word said. And something like that, that made sense. You know, I see what you're saying there. That's not what that man said. He said, well, that's fine, but this is the Word anyhow. And I don't want to testify my dad. I mean, he can share it for you, but God just started working on him about that time. I was probably about 15 or 16 in that range, somewhere around there. And he had to go find the truth. Couldn't take it no more. You know, I remember it was Pastor Rick there, got up and said something about You know, if you believe that, if you believe one is you're crazy or something like that. And I remember hearing it too, something like that. And I said, ooh, I don't know about that, Dad. And we got out of the car and said, I just can't go back. And I said, okay, Dad, that's fine. And I think, how'd you say that again to Mom? I'm going to go find the truth. You can come with me if you want to, but I've got to go. And that's the way we have to get individually anyways. Yeah. You can't bring mother, brother, sister, cousin in that room. You got to go yourself. Amen. And I just didn't think nothing of it. I'm just a little teenager, you know, just kind of going through the motions. But in my heart, I always believed there was a God. I always thought it was Jesus. I didn't believe in Buddha or anything like that. I just, you know, I guess we live in a Christian society. Well, we kind of do. But my dad went to Brother Tom Diller's church at that time, and a man that used to have about 300 had about half this room and maybe 15 or 20 people. Isn't that right? Why? Because staying with the Word is more important than any number.
Amen.
And I went to church there. I'm in my teenage years somewhere. And I'm sure they... I wish I could remember what Brother Tom's face looked like when Dad walked back in there. But I bet it was something else. Because God just knows how to do things. And went to church there the first time. And I still remember this. We went outside and Dad... He's like, well, what'd you think? And I was like, well, I feel like I actually went to church today. I can't tell you when somebody told me Brother Branham's prophet. I can't tell you when I heard about the seals or this or that. Because I just saw the life of what this world was to produce, and I was convinced that this was right. I was convinced because of somebody that was willing to produce what the Word said. I didn't surrender my heart at that time. I got baptized. It was April of 2004. It was on an Easter. I remember that. And I got baptized, but at the time I had a worldly girlfriend, and I wasn't ready to give that up just yet. But I knew in my heart I had to. And I think y'all can relate. There was something. Before you came to the Lord, it just seems to get down to that one thing. Whatever it is, just that one thing. You know, it's a rich young ruler. That's exactly what happened to him. He could obey the laws. He was a good boy. He went to church, paid his tithes. But that was that one thing. He just loved his money too much.
Sure.
And I had this worldly girlfriend, and I just couldn't give it up for the longest time. I got baptized. And around the same time, I just always felt a calling in my heart to preach. But I just knew if I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I didn't quit to preach anyway.
Right, right.
Brother Tom, actually, one time, he was getting sick, and they asked me to testify, and I got up there, and I'm just bawling like a baby. I don't want to get into that, but the Lord was able to use me without me being a real Christian, because gifts and callings are without repentance.
Yeah.
And that's when I began to realize there's something in me that I can't control, because I have no idea how that just happened.
Yeah.
Brother Kent remembers this, because I think he might have forgotten to record that service, but I didn't need that recorded. I'd have blew my head up so big. I'm telling you, you might think you knew Brother Andrew. You don't know Brother Andrew. You know Jesus Christ is Brother Andrew. You ain't met Brother Andrew. Oh my, I'd have let everybody know. I thought I was a preacher and had a buddy of mine, a friend in town, but he's moved somewhere now. I think in Columbus or something. But he was, you know, nominal Christian and things, and we began to hang out, and, you know, we're going to go preach and do all these things. And my, I tell you what, I fell flat on my face because I wasn't ready yet. I wasn't supposed to yet. I was going out. I was doing God a service without it being His will. Because until you got the Holy Ghost, you ain't busy doing nothing. You just got one thing to do, start repenting and figure out why you ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. That's all you got to do. Because until God's in you, you can't do anything for the kingdom. Because our human efforts, God doesn't want. He doesn't want our ability. It will fail. But if God can get inside, He will just blossom out His own life. That's His intended purpose. Well, it was 2004, so I would have been about 17, because I would have turned 18 in October, and it wasn't until I got baptized in April. It wasn't until not the following January, but the one after that, where I finally got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. And I got in prayer, and I told the Lord, you know, I had broke up with my girlfriend, you know, at times, but this time I was done. I was done with it, because in my heart I was settled. God, I'm picking you. I'm done with everything else. And He knew when I meant business. That's the reason people don't get nowhere. They never get to that point where it's 100%. Where you don't hold nothing back. You're not putting up any front. God, I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. I've done this wrong. I know I can't overcome this. I would pray time and time again, God, don't let me do it. God, don't let me do it. God, don't let me do it. And I'd be doing it again.
Right.
Why? I didn't have no power to fight.
Right.
You're just fighting out there when you ain't got the Holy Ghost. You don't know where to put the punches because the devil's faster than you.
Right.
But he's not faster than him.
Right.
That's right. Lord might look like he's just bluffing, boom, right in the face every time. That's right. But I got to that point, and I remember, I'll never forget this as long as I live. I got down. Some people received the Holy Ghost in church. I didn't. I received it on my bedside at home. And when my dad turned the garage into a bedroom, I was out there. I was 19 years old. It was around January, February. I can't remember the exact day. But that's just because I don't know the date. But I can tell you it was a day. It wasn't some progressive thing. It was, I'm different. I woke up different one day. Just everything I see is different. Everything I feel is different. Everything I want, all of a sudden, just fell apart, and I want other things.
Yeah.
Even to where I saw her shortly after that experience, I saw my girlfriend before, and just that whole thing, it was just gone. It was defeated. You know, you couldn't do nothing to me now, devil, because I've got someone else here now.
Amen.
And I got down and started praying. I said, Lord, I don't know what else to do, but I know what I need. I need the Holy Ghost. I need a change. And I just laid there, and I've shared this before. I'm just going to make it quick. I actually fell asleep praying. I had a dream, and in my dream, my girlfriend's cousin was telling me we need to get back together. And then it changed scenes, and it was my dad telling me we need to get back together. And I said, devil, you're too dumb for that one. You used the wrong man. I know that man never would have told me to go back to someone with a girl. I'll say that to parents. There was one thing. My dad had no problem telling me I was wrong, but once he told me, he knew that that's all he can do. He didn't try to badger me and attack me or anything like that. He would just let me know, hey, you know what you're doing is wrong? Yes, sir. I remember a few times I said, well, Dad, maybe I need the Holy Ghost. He said, okay. And he walked away because what else is there to talk about if I got it? As far as up here. You know, there's nothing else to do at that point. I remember another time we were talking about my girlfriend and things like that. And said, well, maybe I need to get my priorities straight. And he was like, yeah, that's right. And he just walked away. I knew it the whole time. It wasn't. That's the thing, I get so frustrated when people tell me they can't get the Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? I knew exactly what was keeping me from the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I knew exactly how I was grieving God. It was just in me. You can just feel that. Not like a sense, but it's beyond that. You can just tell when you make him sad.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Amen. God was faithful. He came there, and I woke up, and I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. I'm not going back. And just like that, you know, you can't explain the supernatural, but you just feel this rush come up there, right? And he said, without the Holy Ghost, you never would have done it. And I wouldn't have just based it off that, but things from that point on, things were different. Since that time, that's what Brother Brent said. Since that time, nothing's been the same. Started going, and what I appreciate there about Brother Thomas is even though I didn't receive the Holy Ghost yet, I learned the Word the way it was pure, the way it was supposed to be. When I got the Holy Ghost, I went to a different church, and I don't want to call names or anything, but I went to a church that honestly, when I brought visitors, I was embarrassed because what was going on wasn't really what I believed, but I didn't know what else to do. Brother Tom, at the time, I think he had a heart attack, had heart surgery and things, and he had retired, and Dad just decided to go somewhere. And I went along with them. That was how we did things back then. Dad would just go to church, and I'd jump in the vehicle. That's what we did. And we just, you all think you know Brother Stephen, but you didn't know Brother Stephen then. Brother Stephen then wouldn't jump in no car, he wouldn't go to no church, wouldn't even talk about nothing like that. But I'll tell you this experience I had one time. I can't remember where I was, but I remember feeling this. It's just one of those things that sears your heart, you know. And I began to think, what's heaven going to be like without my Brother Stephen? Because I knew he wasn't saved. And just something in me could not accept that. I just couldn't. I knew. That's not the way it's going to be. What kind of heaven would that be without my brother there?
Sure.
That's the token begins to move in your soul. We cast that off as just an emotion. No, sir. No, sir. I knew my brother's coming someday. It was a little while from then. I can't tell you when. And I don't know why. I'll just go that way if that's okay tonight. You got to give me a free course?
Yep.
Brother Stephen, when he was dating Carrie there, she was in the World 2 at the time and things, and he went to her graduation party high school, and everybody hated him there at the time. So I was like, well, I'll go just so he has somewhere to talk about. Just long story short, within about an hour, I told him about all five comings of Elijah, serpent seed, Brother Graham. He's just eating it up. About halfway into the night, you never guess this, Brother Alexander showed up. He wasn't saved yet either, but he got in there. And we all talked about the Word for at least 2 hours until it was dark. I let them both leave with a box of CDs of Brother Brandon. And that's where it started. And they can testify of theirs, but God was faithful. I've been watching Brother Alexander. He got baptized at one of his old buddy's house because they had a pool. And he came with good clothes on. He got baptized. He got up and he went back to his car and drove home. Didn't change or anything. He's getting the Holy Ghost today.
That's right.
Amen. You wonder why I'm close to Isaiah. We go back a little ways. Well, I'll tell you this too. We've had our fair share of arguments. Don't let me kid you. But when you can overcome that, it just brings you that much closer. It really does. If you have funny feelings towards somebody, if you'll go after that person and work it out and be honest and get over it together and overcome that thing, the devil will never get back in there again. I'm just telling you, if you'll actually be sincere, it just gels us together because that's what holds the body together, divine love. Divine love has to say, I know you're wrong, I know you deserve this, but I'll forgive you anyways. I will look unto the Lord. I will wait on my God, the God of my salvation, my God. Will hear me. Yes. Shortly thereafter, started going to church there. I'd received the Holy Ghost. Brother Tom taught the Word the right way. So when I saw many things, I remember thinking in my head, but they're going to a message church, so it must be okay. But in my heart, I knew something wrong about that. That skirt's a little, that's not very modest. That hair don't look too long like the Word said, you know. And here we are talking about some worldly thing. I just got delivered of that. What are we sitting here talking about it for? And you could say I became quite the legalist for a little while. But God was able to use me when I listened. I will put it that way. Worked at Ponderosa. You never believe who else worked there, huh? Brother Stephen. Brother Alexander. Sister Karen. Now you call them brother and sister. They weren't brother or sister back then. I was lone duck, staying all by myself. Brother Alexander one time came up to me. I went to church. I tried to testify when I could and things. Came up to me before he was serving the Lord. He gave me $50. He said, you look like you go to a respectful place. Here, we'll give this to your church. That's when I took notice. I said, well, you know, you put your money where your mouth is.
Right.
That's when I know, ooh, there's something a little bit different about this guy than one of the others. Oh, I forgot to share that. I have a picture of it. Just so you know why I don't mind us, our little church here and how I was baptized. Same kind of trough we got now. That's exactly how I got baptized. And that's Brother Tom baptizing me back in 2004. Since that time, you know, it's been quite the road. And it's one of those things where you tread softly on what you share and what you don't share. Because God, you know, He speaks to us every day. There's certain things He don't want you telling someone else. There's things He tells you that's for you. Too many times we think that means it's for everyone. Well, it don't necessarily mean that. It's just we need to walk hand in hand with the Lord and do what He wants us to do.
Amen.
You know, I went after that. I was actually Brother Jeff's church at the time. It's Brother Chad, I guess, now. Went after there. We went to Brother Craig Brewer's church that's down in Lima. Brother Kent was there too for that. That's what I'm saying. This brother and me, man, we just can't get away from each other. Went there for a few years. After that, I went down to Brother Kim's. And then here a few years ago, I feel like I can just be open about this. I'd like to let you know what happened to me. Back in 2008, and I told you I got baptized in 2004. I got the Holy Ghost. It had been the beginning of, let's see, 2006, somewhere on there. So a few years after that, I was praying one day in my room. It had been at our new house. It wasn't at Main Street. It was in our new house. And I was praying there. And just for anybody that thinks you're busy, at that time, I was working 50-something hours a week. I was taking 17 credit hours. So right there, you got 68 hours in the classroom. Then I had to do my homework. Then I had to go to observations for 2 hours, 3 times a week. And I went to church on Wednesday night, and I went on Sunday and Sunday night every week. And I still found time to pray, and I'm glad I did, because that's when God showed me things. How? How can you do it? You can. You got to commit it to Him. And He can make, He can do everything. He can do everything. I will wait on the Lord. My God will hear me. We just don't ask too many times, do we? Well, we tell them how to answer us. We tell them when to answer. That's the main thing that we get in trouble with. I believe you, Lord, but if it ain't in a week, I don't know about this. That ain't necessarily true. I already told you about how I always felt to preach, and I tried it and fell on my face. So I'll be honest, I was scared to death to do it again. You know, it's just like a little kid when he puts his hand on the stove. He's scared to touch it again or even try to cook on it or get near the thing because he remembers when he got burnt. And that's exactly how I was. So I was praying, and I'd always just kind of tried to push that off, but you just can't do it. When you got a call on a God in your heart, you just can't. And whatever you're called to, you try to avoid it. You try. You try to go live somewhere where God don't want you to. You go try to take the job where you ain't supposed to be at, and you'll feel the same way I did about this. I was praying that day, and I've told some of you this, but I'd like you to see it as well. And this was my Bible that my dad, I'm pretty sure you all bought this for me, right? Before I was really serving the Lord, but they got me this Bible, and you can tell I used it till about died. I got some tape here, and it would fall off if I didn't have that on here. But I prayed, and God showed me something that I can't explain it. And I totally understand what Brother Brandon says, you can't explain a vision. I understand that. You just can't explain it in natural terms like you think here. It's so simple, it's so casual, yet it's so phenomenal at the same time when God shows you something. Why? Because that's His character. We've got God as this guy who's got to show off and prove who He is. He doesn't need to prove anything. He knows who He is.
Amen.
And He comes in the humblest of ways. If you just sit there and listen and not put Him in a box, but put you in His box. That's this poor little right here. Just stay in here. You'll be all right.
Amen.
It's all panoramic, and I can't explain it, but I was standing behind a pulpit, and I had people out there, and I remember my brother Stephen standing out in the back, and I believe I've seen this happen in real life now. And I thought, that's interesting. And then all of a sudden, the word, Truth Tabernacle. Just in case you don't believe me, I wrote it down so I never forget that I did it. The date was 12/17/08. Now, I did what I... I was pretty scared, but I wrote it down anyways. I put it away. I don't think I ever showed anyone that. I don't even know if I showed Dad that for the longest time because I was scared to death to tell anyone about it. Well, it's 2014 now. Church didn't start until 2013. Just because God showed you something don't mean it's tomorrow.
That's right.
It was only 5 years. And it was almost 5 years before I even started preaching. Here I am right after that. I preached the first time. It was my son Dawson. He was one in a day or someone right around there. So all I remember is I knew Ellie was going to be mad because it was going to be Dawson's birthday party the day I would be preaching. So how do you know that? Well, I was praying one day. See, we just pray. I think God would tell us a lot more. Praying one day. Look, no, let me kid you. Brother Andrew gets away from prayer too at times. I do. I'm a human like anyone else. And you know what? When you do that, you don't hear from God like you normally do. You don't feel like you normally do. You feel fucky and mucky and why do I feel this way? And you try to satisfy it with anything else, I'm telling you, it ain't going to get no better.
Amen.
Just go back to the Word. Go back to prayer. Go back to Christ. He's our refuge. He is. He is our only defense. Remember that? We aren't given anything else. And He is the Word. Amen. I almost lost my train of thought there for a minute. Preached first time. Before that, I was... You know, it's one of those things. I was at Brother Josh Tucker's. We were visiting. My brother Stephen was preaching that day. I don't know if y'all know this story. That was Brother David Simmons' church. But Brother David had back pain that day. Couldn't come to service. They asked Dad to do songs. Stephen was preaching, and I think I actually prophesied at that service. And you just think, what in the world are we doing out here? I went up for prayer there. Brother Josh and them were praying with me. And the Lord told me, He says, get ready. The ministry is going to start soon. He told me to pray for my family. So I did that. And it wasn't, but that was in June or July, somewhere in the summer. I remember that because I wouldn't be able to go otherwise. But I was praying. It was the beginning of August. And as I was praying, I saw a calendar. I saw a hand come. And it went down to August 8th. And then I said, no, it's not 8. Or how is it? Is it 8 or 18 or 7 or 17? It's one of those. It was either 7 or 8, and then I went, no, it's 7 or 18. Well, that was on a Saturday, not on a Sunday. But I still know, God don't lie. And when he tells you something, that's the truth. Shortly thereafter, me and Brother Kim Smith there, we talked. He said, hey, brother, you know, we're going to have communion here soon. Do you want to preach that service? And I kind of laughed because he thought it was on Sunday. But I remembered he wrote it on the calendar. Communion was going to be on Saturday that time, on the date that the Lord told me it was going to be. So it makes it real easy to remember the first time you preach when it's about a day with your son's birthday. And you know your wife was mad at you that day. But so that was the first time there in August. And some of y'all know, and I don't want to get into that whole mess and things, but you know, they're still our brothers and sisters. They are. And I don't kick anyone out. If the only way you even get out is because you never in. You know, there's no man can put you in, no man can take you out. No, it don't matter. It don't work that way. God don't run his program that way. He ran his program the way he wanted to before the foundation of the world when he thought about it, and it's hitting right on cater all the time.
Amen.
So I've learned that no matter how bad it looks, we'll just step back. God will give you the bigger picture. And in a few months, you know, of the things that went on there and some things that just ain't worth speaking about, I don't like giving the devil no credit anyway. You know, I think the Bible says that don't speak about the works of darkness and things like that, and I don't want to do that. You know how the devil, I just hate him. You hate him yet? I do. And, you know, I was trying to speak to Brother Cameron about some things and stuff, and I went to prayer again, and he told me to start this. Most people think, well, how? Well, I don't know how to explain it to you, but that's what he told me. And I began to try to argue with him and said, but Lord, it won't look good. It won't look right. And I'm just being honest. I hope that's okay. It won't look right. People won't think this. Here's what he did. He didn't have to say no more than this. But he brought it back to my mind. What happened to Brother Brandon when he didn't listen? And that's what he thinks. Is it worth my wife and boy? For to look bad for his thing? No, son. I'd rather just do that. I believe that's why even Brother Branham's mistakes are in the Bible, in the message, so we can learn. I would say he'd be the first one that says, don't do what I did. I don't think he's got any pride about it. He'll say, I was wrong. Don't do that, you know. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Same time, you know, Lord's working on my dad about it too. And we had never, as I told you, never discussed this at all. It's just the way God orchestrated it. So I did it. I knew 4 people would be here for sure on that Sunday. That was Ellie Dawson be dead. That's all I knew for sure. I didn't know. And sure enough, Paul's been here. We had a few others there, if I can remember everyone. But I seem to have so many things going on. It's hard to remember anymore what yesterday was, really. You know. But let me say it like this. You know, I have suffered some things because of this. But really, when it's all said and done, when I go and I see Brother Thomas when he got baptized, Brother Kent, Brother Austin, Brother Jason, what does it matter? Sure, cool, but you know, just do what God tells you. I'm telling you, it's just the best way to go. You know, I've had people question me on this and that, but I can say, just like the Bible said about Samuel, he's never let the word hit the ground. It's always accomplished what he said, even when it was against what my thought was. And I tell you, I'm not making it up. I fought the Lord about even doing this. Many people think the exact opposite. They thought I wanted to do this. And you can't convince nobody. They can't go home and see your heart. There's only one who knows your heart. That's God.
Amen.
And I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to make him look bad. That's really my whole intention. I don't want the Lord to look bad. But he said, go. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And here we are. When I listen to him, just even on Sunday, you know, you think, I'm going to look kind of stupid if this flops. Well, I'm going to let you know right now, child of God, the devil always says that.
Oh, yeah.
He always says that. Yeah. He never says anything else. And I pray you haven't dreamed up some Christianity that don't have the devil involved, because he is going to attack you.
Right.
He tells you, why are you saying that? You don't know that for sure, but really faith has already declared it in your heart. If it's really God now, it can't fail. And when I said on Sunday, you come up here, and he just said physical. I don't know. I didn't know why. But I said, do it anyways. And God come down and he healed how many? Right there. Why? Because he'd said that, not me.
Amen.
And even Sister Vice, she didn't tell you the whole thing, but when I was up there praying around, she didn't quite step forward, but I asked her, I said, do you want prayer? And she said, well, and she kind of stammered a little bit. She's like, I didn't really walk forward or nothing. I said, well, I'm going to do it anyways in the name of Jesus Christ. And then praise the Lord. Why? See, God works everything out. It don't look like it's right, but it is right. It didn't look like this should be this way or this church should be what it is, but it is. And I thank God for it. I thank God that when I say His word, out of the pureness of my heart, He ain't afraid to come back it up.
Amen.
And He's not only not afraid, He wants to.
Yeah.
He bites at the bit for somebody to take His word and to stand on it.
Yeah.
And I say, Lord, if nobody else will do it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You say, my, that's a mighty big responsibility. I understand, but this, He means more than life to me.
Yeah.
When I was defeated, and can we read that one more time? I'm going to preach a little bit now. Micah chapter 7 there again. Hallelujah. Now I can't even find it. Micah chapter 7. Now let's go back one verse real quick here. Verse 6. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. And if you can't tell me a prophecy for this day, here we are.
Yeah.
But look, what did Micah say here? What does the Bible tell us when the world looks like it's falling apart, where even down to the very family, there's enemies?
Yeah. Yeah.
What did the Bible say? Therefore, I'm going to do one thing. I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Not my God might. It might be some other time. He will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Not your brother now, that old rotten devil that tells you ain't no good, that tells you done made the last mistake, you can't come back, who tells you you turned away from the message, you can't come back. You know what the prophet said, but you know in your heart, I didn't disbelieve it. I knew it was right. And I let the devil trap me, but I'm not no more. I believe God.
Amen.
And God come and He's thawed you back.
Yes.
Back to the Word again, because you always were the Word. It doesn't matter what the devil's got to say.
Amen.
Don't rejoice against me, devil.
Amen.
Because you got nothing to rejoice about. Because let me tell you something, oh mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise.
Yes.
Not I might. I shall arise.
Hallelujah.
When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me.
Yeah.
When I sat those 2 years knowing the Word of God, and I know some of you did it a lot longer than me, but it's this, I know what you feel like. You're sitting there in darkness, but for some reason the light still shines out there.
Yeah.
And you can't get away from it.
Yeah.
Everyone else doesn't care that they're fornicating and doing all this and drinking and boozing it up. Nobody else cares. For some reason, you can see that it's death.
Uh-huh.
You just want to do it. You just want to fit in. You just want to be like the boys. And you just can't do it. They even tell you, what are you doing here, son? Get out of here.
Yeah.
You don't even fit in. You're faking it. Why? Because they knew you're a hypocrite. When you start being a sinner, just recognize that's you being a hypocrite. Because you ain't a sinner.
Amen.
You're a Christian.
Amen.
That's right. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him. How many felt that way? You can just feel it all around you because you know you're hurting.
Amen.
But that isn't it until He plead my cause. Hallelujah. And execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light. See, God's not a tease. Listen to me now. Why do you hear the message? Why do you believe God's not a tease? It's because you are it.
Amen.
Why do you think this is truth? Because you're the elect. God's not a tease. He doesn't just bring His message to any old person. He brings it to those that will receive it.
Amen.
Amen. And just those that happen to be around that ain't going to receive it, that's not His goal. He's trying to find the elect.
Amen.
To the point where, look, Jesus, when we look at His real ministry, it started when He began to speak what the Word really was. And those that couldn't receive it, look, He wasn't afraid to shake them off. When it came down to it, He said, what are you going to say? when I tell you that the Son of Man is going to go back to the right hand of the Father where he came from?
Right
hand of the Father, what are you talking about? We know where you're born. They'll say the same to you. What do you mean you got, what's this Holy Ghost? What's this message of the hour? You ain't no different. You ain't no different than me. You still got problems? You say, yes, sir, I do. But I've got an overcomer.
Amen. Amen.
I've got pardon for my sins. I don't have the indignation of the Lord because he pleaded my cause. We didn't ask Christ to die on the cross. We didn't ask him to send us the truth to bring us out of it. He did it himself because he loved us. Don't rejoice against me, enemy. You were defeated before you existed. The game's been rigged the whole time. I just love it. Can you just picture it that way? This is really what it's like. It's like, you know, you're sitting there playing chess, and I told you about my brother. It fits very nicely. You look like you're losing the whole time. And God does this. We think he lets the devil think he's winning.
Yeah.
He does. He let Cain go kill Abel to make him think that, you know, maybe I've got it. Maybe I destroyed the seed. And God said, well, wait a minute, Cain, what are you talking about? I can still hear Abel talking. He ain't dead.
Right.
I mean, you can't kill a part of God.
Amen.
You can't kill a part of God. There ain't no sin can keep a child of God from the Word of God.
Yeah.
He's got to find it because that's what he always was. And I'm grateful to say I know that I'm a son of God. As I said, I just thank God. When it just came, it's just a part of me. When you hear these, the seven fields being open, I remember talking to Dad. I think he might remember this too. We were coming home and we were listening to the seals. And Dad said, yo, this is when the seals were broke open. And I remember thinking in my mind, that was like back with Moses and stuff, you know, when God did things, is what I was thinking. And I said, when did that happen, Dad? He said, it's happening right here on the tape. I mean, really?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. If he was God, he's got to be God now, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You got a free sermon tonight, I'll tell you that much. But I've got something worth shouting about.
Yeah.
I've got something that when John saw it, now he watched. Let's go there. We got to go there. We got to read Revelation 5. Hallelujah. We're talking about the seals being opened now. The book was sealed, but not no more. And I beheld, verse 11. Revelation 5:11 of you. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And my, how many times we feel this way? Listen to me now. We feel, oh, we have these mighty revival services, and my, there's just an uproar of thousands and thousands and ten thousands and ten thousands. And we think, well, then I ain't got nothing to contribute. It's already all here. You see what I'm saying? We look around, we see John saw all these angels praising the Lord. Well, what am I in the midst of all these to worship this God? That's right. But that's not the way John handled the situation. It says it right here in the next verse. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, and even that devil down under there, heard me say something about this.
Amen.
Such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing, heard I saying. Not Brother So-and-so, not the pastor. Heard me saying something about this because I'm a part of it. I believe it, and I don't care how small my voice is. I'm going to give it all to God. I don't care how little my life is. I'm going to do something for the Lord. I've got something worth shouting about. I got something worth getting excited. My, we get excited about the dumbest stuff. And then God comes and delivers us, and we think, oh, praise the Lord, wasn't that nice? What is wrong with us? We need a revival in our souls to go back sometimes and say, God, you are such a mighty God. You took some wretched sinner. You came out of a broken message home, and you turn around, you made him a pastor that stands for this word, that heals the sick, that let, not me now, but the ministry, you hear me? He can take what looks like pure serpent seed devil. Make a son of God.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy. I'm so happy that I couldn't do nothing about it. But he did.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that he put the seed of God in me before the foundation of the world. Because I sat in anointed services and it didn't do nothing for me.
Yeah.
Come on now. I can't tell you what Brother Tom preached in my head because I didn't have the Holy Ghost to receive it yet. But I still had the seed. I still had a burden. I still had a desire. I still couldn't get away from this little feeling in my heart.
Amen.
that whatever this is, I don't know what it is, but I know it's right. And I've got to find it. I've got to find this well of living water. Brother Bram even talks about David. And I've hit at this, but I'm going to find it real quick. I know where, what part of the page it's on. And I've told you how blessed we are to be living in a Holy Ghost age. We think, oh my, these mighty wars of the Old Testament, oh, they would have paid all kinds of money to switch you spots and have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Would have been nice for Samson before he died to really get his conscience clear and say, well, God forgave me of that. The whole time it says they feared death because they didn't know. Even David himself, you know, he got in trouble too, isn't that right? And praise God, God came to him and said, you're forgiven for what you did, or he wouldn't. But here's what he says here, Brother Branham has spoken word. So there's coming a time, but what about David when he come back? He's talking about when he left and came back, he was rejected. He said the story changed. David come riding in triumphant. This fellow run and scream for mercy. Sure, let him alone. He'll come someday in power. The laughing and will turn the other way. That's right, just let him alone. And God said, David, you're a man after my own heart. When God creates a man, he's of his kind. Capital S. He's of his kind. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I sin not against you. Only thing he needed was the rain. David would have been all right if he could have just had that rain. And here we are.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost every service. Standing right here. And I ain't bragging. I'm telling you, it's the word. Yeah. He promised it and he fulfills it. If you'll just believe it, all things are possible.
Amen. Amen.
You say, I can't get over this. No, sir. There's no I can't in the army of God. It's he already did.
Amen.
He said, only thing he needed was the rain. David would have been all right if he just could have had the rain, but the Holy Ghost wasn't given yet. He had the word, and the word was in him, and he could know it. See? So the seed was always there. That's why spoken words original seed. Every child of God, before even the Holy Ghost, they still had the seed of God. But it's just like this. They had a veil of flesh. And when the rain would come, my David would get anointed and feel great and play music, but it could never penetrate that because God is a holy God. He will not cross sin. And there was nothing to account for the sin in David to get into his soul. Well, David, if he could have just got the Holy Ghost, I don't think there'd have been a whole Bathsheba thing going on at all. Because it didn't even, I think God even came to him and says, if you just would have asked me, could not I have given you this? Would have been so much better for Uriah to live a good soldier life. And even if he laid down his life in a righteous way for David and Israel, giving his all to fight a real battle and go down a hero. Instead, he gets framed. Essentially, he gets put out there just to die. Just to die. That's really all he had to do. He was just sent out there. They all betrayed him. He died right there because of David's selfishness. What if David had the Holy Ghost? He just said, pray. He said, Lord, I don't know what it is about that woman, but for some reason I feel like she's supposed to be alive. Say, ooh, how, what do you think about it? Well, how else are you going to work that out? That was predestined for the foundation of the world to bring the Savior.
That's right.
David had to marry Bathsheba at some point. But had she you know, Uriah been able to die an honorable death, then he could have waited for her to get done mourning and then took her as the righteous way according to God's word. And how many times have we done the same thing before? But look, it ain't supposed to be that way now. Said David would have been all right had he got the Holy Ghost. What do we got? We're bubbling over.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. We've got life. We've got a well of living water. I don't need to wait even just for a rain out there somewhere. Yeah. There's a rain in my soul all the time.
Yeah.
If I'll just believe it.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. He said, I've hid the word in my heart, Lord. It won't bloom out and act like it should, but I have it hid there, Lord. I have it in there. But when Jesus came, come on now. Which was the word made manifest, took the germ of life out of it, and brings it back to the word now.
Yeah.
So before this, look, and we'll get into this here in the next few services, I'm sure. But that seed was always in every son of God.
Yeah.
It was in David.
Yeah.
It was in Abel. It was in Adam.
Yeah.
It traveled all the way down. They're all linked somehow. I'll tell you that much because Brother Branham said eternal life passes through the body.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. You trade years back, you'd realize that you came from Peter or Paul or somebody because they witnessed and they got to this one and got to this one. And you probably got some housewives in there. Come on now. You probably got some farmers in there. We trail our natural lineage. Forget that. I want to know how the word got back to me. Because that's my family anyhow. Look, when we get there, all of the old things have passed away. The only thing that will still be there is the word of God because the word of God is God.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And today, the Spirit says, He's still in flesh.
Yeah, I am.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
There's no excuse, sons of God. We've been given more than enough to witness Him. And I can testify, and I have here, that if we'll just commit it to the Lord, He can do all things.
Amen.
He does all things. If I will look unto Him, He will hear me.
Amen.
And there won't be no rejoicing of the devil when the Son of God gets a hold of the Word for Himself. The devil can't separate Him from it.
Right.
When the Holy Ghost really comes into a believer, he doesn't have to worry like David did. Oh my, am I forgiven? How many think I'm holding the Bible right now? Raise your hand for me, please. Why is it? Because you got the sense of sight and you can see. When you receive the Holy Ghost by faith, there's something in you that knows. I've been chosen. And if I've been chosen, I've been glorified.
Amen.
I've been justified. I've been sanctified because it all goes hand in hand.
Exactly. Amen.
Thank the Lord. You enjoying this tonight?
Yes.
I can't say I feel any less nervous now than I did when I started. I hope that's okay. I'm to the point now where I don't get any. I don't see no benefit playing games or being kind of like this. And I'm going to say something, but I'm not going to let them know what I really mean. And hopefully they'll figure out somehow. No, let's make our yays yays and our nays nays, because Jesus said any more than this. That's where evil comes from.
Right.
So that becometh of evil. So when it comes down to it, I can say, you know what? Brother Andrew was a mess for a few years until I got the Holy Ghost. My flesh is still a mess, but look, I reckon myself dead. I'm not. You might say, well, I got problems. No, you just look at the wrong guy. That guy's dead. Because dead man's got a lot of problems. He can't do nothing. His heart ain't beating. His head ain't functioning. He can't eat. He can't sleep. He can't do anything. Why? Because he's dead. He's got all kinds of troubles. So why don't we get surprised that our flesh has got troubles? It's dead. It ain't no good. God didn't want nothing to do with that. That's why He put a seed beyond that.
Amen.
And that's who we are.
Yeah.
And God saw that. He knew it. And He knew what it would take to bring that seed back to Himself.
Yeah.
Not proud of this. I forgot a story. And I got to talk about it. The very first thing that ever got my attention for real about God. I was about 14 years old. I don't know if I've told you all this, but I will now. I was, like I said, you don't fit in with sinners anyways. And I hang out with these guys that want to go out and sneak out because they live with their grandma so we can do whatever we want after about 8. And we'd go out, he lived out in the country a little ways, and we found a hill with some trees, you know, and it's right by the highway, so we'd take a bag of potatoes and we'd go out there, and these cars would go by, we'd go. Now, I'm the guy that would say, yeah, I'll do it, and just kind of, and then run away. Because you can't help it. You can't consciously be evil because you're not.
Yeah.
You're not. You're just trying to be a hypocrite, right? You're trying to act tough, and you're the biggest sissy out there. That was this guy right here, I'll tell you. I'm the one that's in the back of the line, ready to bail when anything looks wrong. I'm the is everything okay guy. Like, let's look around first, guys. And my buddy would be way up there getting, you know, just leaning out. Even one time, he almost hit a cop car, man. We hit the woods fast that night. He only lived maybe a quarter mile, but we walked about 2 or 3 miles out in the woods somewhere to get back. See, I'm not proud of this, okay? I hope you understand. I ain't bragging. I'm just letting you know what it was like. And I was about 14. We'd run around and stuff, and I am ashamed of this, but I thank God that He was able to speak to me. That's the main thing. I'm glad He was able to get my attention. My buddy and me, we snuck out one night, and we were going to go see some girls or whatever. I can't even remember exactly how it all panned out now, but we lived out in the woods, and there was a bridge before you get out, so, you know, there ain't no real place to hide when you're on the bridge. You know, you just got to kind of run. And I tell you, when you're driving your car, that bridge seems pretty short. When you're out there running, it's a long bridge. I'm tired, you know. Well, we'd go out there and just run across it and then hide and go between. You know how you do all that. Well, I hope you don't know firsthand, but I think you can make sense of it. But I figured out, all right, I'm going to be a tough guy this time. I'm going to go by myself the next time, right? I wish I could go out there and show you where this is at. Because the road, there's a field part there, and then there's a woods maybe like a quarter mile away. That's where I am. I'm scared to death out there all by myself about midnight, 1 o'clock. But I'm going to be the tough guy. You know, I'm going to go do this by myself. You're probably that way too in the world, right? I'm going to be a tough guy. Lord, I don't even, let's just make it spiritual. Lord, I don't really need you for this one. I got it. I'm a tough guy. You know, And I got to the bridge, and I'm just going to tell you what I remember. Oh my, did I get made fun of? But there's all kinds of made-up stories. Let me put it that way. But here's what really happened. I got up to that bridge, and I remember I sat there for what seemed like eternity because I just couldn't hardly get the courage to get out of there. I was about ready to bail. I said, no, I'm going to be a tough guy. I'm going to do this. And I got up there, and I finally was like, all right, let's go. And I jumped up off the guardrail, and I started running. And all I can remember to this day is I got towards the end, and it was right up the country, so there's a street light right before you leave Defiance. It's out toward the 111 and things. And I look up, and I remember seeing the street light. But then I woke up, and whatever happened in between here, I do not remember to this day. But I woke up, and I'm on the river bend. Right there. Now, praise the Lord, it was a drought, because there was no water for me to drown in or anything like that. It was all dried up. And I was laying there. I looked home, and I thought, my, what am I doing, you know? And I went to get up, you know, and I can literally feel my ankle do this. Because I broke a clear tree. So I'd fallen off somehow or jumped off, or I don't, you can imagine the stories kids made up. We'll put it that way. And if you ever go through something like that at the time, you know, I wasn't really all that excited. You kind of go through a shock. I didn't feel no pain. I I guess I'm here. I guess I'll just make the best of it. And I took my shoes off, made a pillow, and I actually ended up falling asleep that night there. Buddy wakes up about 7 in the morning. He's one of them guys that's about a noon guy on a Saturday. He don't get up for noon. For some reason, he woke up at 7 o'clock, realized that I never made it there, that I wasn't home, and he said, oh, great, you got to go find me. And he went. He knew what path I'd take because he had done it the time before. And he ended up finding me down there, and they come and, yeah, I'd completely broken this ankle. I can show it to you at some point, but it don't look normal, I'll tell you that much. And they got the ambulance there. They what seemed like 5 minutes, but I guess it was hours or something, wasn't it? By the time that was all, you remember, Mom? I remember seeing you there when the ambulance came. I remember that, but by the time the ambulance actually got there and got me out of there, that whole scene is about 5 seconds long to me. I remember one thing. I'm ashamed to say this, but I'm going to tell you what happened. Lady comes up to me because I'm a minor. She's one of those, you know, children doctor people or whatever. She's like, what's your pain level from a 1 to 10? I said, lady, that's the stupidest question I ever heard. I don't know, 11? Get me out of here. And they took me off in a stretcher, and they put me up in an ambulance, and they had, because they always think you might have some neck damage, so they put this thing on your head, and I'm looking at the top of an ambulance for an hour, all the way to Toledo. And about halfway into it, I said, guys, there's nothing wrong with my neck. Take this thing off me. Well, I got up there. I'm in the hospital. And this whole time, really, it just didn't click what had happened. It just never really hit me. This really happened to me. It was like a false reality. But I do remember one thing. Dad came to me. He said, were you ready to meet your maker? And I thought for a minute, and I was like, you know what? I really could have done it. One of those things, like I said, the whole situation never really clicked to me. And even at that point, I was like, not really. Well, and if you saw it was probably 20 to 30 feet that I fell. And most people don't make it like that. That was the first thing that got me to think, you know what? I ain't ready. I ain't right. And I wish I could have listened a little bit better way. But sometimes I'm still grateful. I'd much rather have a broken ankle with two screws put together than a soul heading on its way to hell. And I thought, you know what, I ain't ready. And that stuck with me for a while, and it began to give me a conviction. And that was the first thing that really began to lead me to the Lord. I pray you can say, Lord knew what to tell me, when to do it, how to do it. Maybe I was a stupid one. I believe with all my heart I could have avoided that had I just listened to Him a long time ago. I think I could have avoided a lot of hardships had I just listened to what the Lord had to say a long time ago, but I didn't. And we suffer for that, but look, that doesn't mean you're not a sinner. That doesn't mean you're not his daughter. That don't mean you're any less a Christian today just because your past a little bit worse than somebody else. There ain't no little bit worse. We're all filthy. Right. We're all sinners that were needed saved. But praise God we were.
Amen. Amen.
You say, you a sinner today? No, sir. No. See, you commit sins. Well, I make mistakes. But I ain't no sinner.
Amen.
I'm a saint today.
Amen.
Why? Because the sainted one lives in me.
Yeah.
And I live in him. And God doesn't see the kid that ran out in the middle of the night and threw things at cars and stuff. He doesn't see the one that refused to obey his word and stuck with a worldly girl when he once spoke. He don't see none of that. Also, by the way, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I would skip that page. I would. I remember it to this day. I'd turn right to the side of the next page. And Brother Tom would preach. Let me make sure that's true. Right? Can I? Give me a second here. I figured I might go a little bit long. That's right. Remember how long? I have a crease in my Bible on this page. Because Brother Kent, remember 2 Corinthians chapter 7? He preached on that for about over a year. Guess what's right here? 2 Corinthians 6. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. We were predestinated for the foundation of the Lord. He just don't let the message go away, does he? And I am so happy that he does. I'm happy right now that when I make a mistake, I'm so glad, Lord, you don't let me walk ignorant, but you let me feel conviction. You know, pain isn't supposed to be the way, but praise God, when we listen to love, I'm glad pain and fear and things show up, so I listen then before I kill myself. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Like I said, y'all pray for me. You know, that was new. That's a new thing, Brother Andrew. I've never done that before. And I began to think, too, and just thinking on this service when Brother Branham preached his life story and stuff. And well, that was nice, but really, when you're the one doing it, it's something else. You know, you kind of leave yourself vulnerable. You do. When you're a Christian, you better get ready, because you're going to have to open yourself up to people who are probably going to hurt you. More times than not. But look, God ordains it. It's all right. Just be honest. Be true. Live this word with all your heart. And more than anything, love that person. Love them. You say, well, they hate me. That's the best time to start loving. That man that you might hate, I'm sure Stephen never thought Paul would be an apostle one day when he was the one standing there as they stoned him. But what did he say? He said, Lord, don't lay it to their charge. Don't even remember this, Lord. They don't know what to do with this. And sure enough, there he is today. I'm sure Paul and Stephen didn't bring any hurt feelings over to heaven. I'm sure they had no problem just going up and hugging each other. And when this is all done, that's what I live for. That's what I live for. This is real. There's a place. Where my grandma's at right now. My grandpa's there. You all got loved ones there. You got family, you got friends, and if you don't know someone, hey, Moses and Lion, I don't know if you want to see them. I want to get out here before I see Moses and Lion. But God will bring those that you recognize before we get out of here. And that's what I live every day for. Anytime you get burned and down, church, just know God can take anything and make a glorious thing out of it. I'm sure you all, and that's the one thing I love about Christianity. Everyone's got a testimony.
That's right.
Nobody comes born again. You need to get born again. And you know what it does? It puts us all right here on the same level. We were all down here sinning muck. It doesn't matter how you got here. I don't care if you had the perfect message family, whatever. You're still born a sinner, boy. I don't care if you were born out of wedlock and adultery, got raped. I don't care how you got here. You're just as much a sinner as that other one. And you have the same Savior that other person did.
Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. Well, can we just rejoice in the Lord for a little while here?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Can we sing, isn't he wonderful? Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. Excuse me. Let's just worship him for a little while. We'll see what the Lord has to say for tonight. Let's pray.
Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus God so wonderful? As is ever what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
Go and praise
him. My God, here's ever what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Isn't And celebrate his word.